What is happening? It is me, George G. You've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Justin McCurdy. He is a certified financial planner and financial planner with Bridge Financial Planning. Had a great conversation that started with two truths and a lie. We talked about security and all the different emotions that go along with both saving money and spending money, and how oftentimes each of us will lean one way or another. It's important, though, to find that middle ground for yourself between spending everything and saving everything. Because believe it or not, that's a bad thing. If you are just constantly programmed to save everything, you're going to get to retirement. You're not going to want to spend anything. And you'll end up not having as great a life as you possibly could. We have a great difference-making tip. I just know that you are going to love it. Let's go. Justin, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
All righty. So I think I'm going to stump you here, but we'll see. First one, I listen to podcasts at 2x speed. Second one, I have traveled to 5 continents. Antarctica and Australia are the two I have not made it to, but they're on the list. No plans yet. And then the third one is I have 2.5-year-old triplets, 2 boys and 1 girl.
Those are excellent. Which is the lie? We've got some good numbers in here. I am going to say that you have not been to 5 continents.
Oh, you got me.
Yes.
3.
Yes. Well, I saw on your bio that you had triplets, so okay. I knew that one. But so you've been to 3. Which ones have you been to?
Africa, Europe, and then obviously living in North America.
Nice. Where did you go in Africa?
Went twice, Tanzania first and then South Africa.
Okay, nice. And which of our 7 continents is next for you?
I mean, Antarctica is kind of the goal. My grandparents have traveled a lot in their retirement and they eventually got to Antarctica. So to me, that's the goal, is to get there.
And what will you do when you get there?
They came back with pictures of penguins. I want to see the penguins.
You're like, we got off the plane or boat. There's a penguin. Shoot the picture. Back on the plane.
Yes. So that's really the big bucket list trip for someday, is to make it down to Antarctica.
All right. So your triplets are 2.5. Is that right?
2.5. And they're a lot of fun right now. They're little bundles of joy, talking and learning lots of new words, putting sentences together. So it's just crazy. The development on the language side right now is really the big fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I have 3 children, 7, 4, and an 8-month-old baby. And I remember before we had kids, I thought, well, why not just have twins and just, you know, for lack of a better term, get it out of the way. And then I realized what a stupid, stupid, stupid thought that was. So to have 3 at the same time, amazing.
Amazing.
Well, thankfully they were our first, so we didn't know different, and we learned and adapted and adjusted, and thankful for all the family support along the way.
Yeah. That. You have family local?
Yeah, both our families are about an hour away, so regularly get to see them and get their help.
And hand them the children.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Well, we could do a whole parenting podcast at some point, Justin, but for today, what's top of mind for you?
Yeah. So working with people spanning from early career all the way to retirees, you get to see people at all different stages and all different phases of life, paying off debt, job transitions, starting pensions, Social Security, taking their required distributions. And really in that, one of the themes that comes out and that I've seen prevalent a lot recently, both working with clients and in some of kind of the thought leaders in the industry, you know, kind of this dichotomy between living for today versus living for tomorrow, which you can kind of also say spending versus saving is maybe an easier way to think about it. So I think it's just become very prevalent to see those challenges that people have at all stages with that dichotomy of, you know, whether they're just starting out in their career or they're retiring. They're struggling with one end or the other. You know, there's the two extreme ends, and everybody falls somewhere in the middle. But I think a lot of us have a bent towards one way or another. Like personally, I know that I lean towards that saving side. I know that that's my bent. And some of that probably comes from being a financial planner and being in this and seeing the benefit of doing that. But my wife helps me balance out a bit and spend a little bit and be willing to live in the present. So that's one of the things that I'm really seeing and seeing top of mind, and that we're working through with clients, and clients are struggling through those feelings and the emotions and the security of saving on the retiree side, of having saved for so long, built up a portfolio to be in a position to retire. It's hard to start that transition and flip that switch to, I've done all this work. How do I now go and start to spend it, start to enjoy it, start to travel, whatever their values and their goals may be with their money, and getting that switch from just saving and accumulating to actually enjoying life. And I think on the opposite end of the spectrum, the younger people, young professionals in transition and such, are struggling with that too. And not all of them are struggling with it in the same way, but struggling a little bit more with, we want to spend, you know, we've spent all this time in college, or we've gone to graduate schools to get to this point where we're making money. And so there's this strong pull typically towards spending and wanting to live in the present. And saving is a part of that, and sometimes an afterthought though. So I think there's this push towards, how can we enjoy life as we're going through it and not just delay and wait till retirement to do all the things we've held off doing? And one of the words or phrases that comes to mind that I've heard is kind of consumption smoothing. How do we spread out our consumption and make it closer to level versus consuming and saving some of that consumption or some of that travel or giving or just enjoying eating out, whatever it may be, and enjoy that along the way, while also making sure to make smart decisions and be intentional about saving for ourselves in the future. And I'm sure every advisor's got their story of somebody whose life ended shortly and ended abruptly where they didn't get to do that. So I think that drives a lot of that conversation too, of being in the advisor seat, seeing people who don't spend and don't actually get to enjoy that or choose not to for whatever reason.
Is that really, that's one of the key pieces of value that you bring as an advisor. It's helping. Those are great terms. I wrote down hedonism versus asceticism. And then you said consumption smoothing. That's awesome. I've never heard that before. But yeah, it's FOMO. It's YOLO. I've saved all this money and now I don't want to spend any. So I'm older and I'm not going to spend any of it. And I'm going to live hand to mouth and eat, you know, sparingly. Do you think that that's a big piece of the value that you're delivering?
I think it is, because we get to help people on both ends of that, give them the confidence to spend or be the bad guy in the room and say, hey, let's cut back a little bit. You need to be saving a little bit more so that you have some flexibility down the road and have a retirement down the road if that's what you desire. And it ultimately all ties back to everybody's got their own individual values and goals and dreams and desires for their money. And the more that as a planner, we can understand what that is, helps us to better help the client align what they're doing with what they want to see done and with those values, with those goals, because everybody's life is different. And that's the beauty of it. And part of the fun of being a financial planner is that every circumstance is different, lots of similarities and similar techniques or tactics, but everybody's got their own story and they're writing that story.
Yeah, really well said. So the confidence to spend, that one certainly makes a lot of sense to me, where I'm 70 years old, I've retired, and I've got plenty of money. I did an awesome job saving. Hey, you can spend, you can go out to eat, you can travel, you can do those things that you probably wanted to do, but you don't want to run out of money. I get it. And I also don't imagine that young people are coming to you and you're having to twist their arm to save because they're engaging with a financial professional, or am I wrong about that?
So thankfully, haven't had to have too many scenarios where I'm having to really twist somebody's arm and say, hey, you're spending way too much. You need to cut back significantly. I think on the younger side, it's more about stepping in and walking through them with them in that stage where their incomes are growing, they're having more flexibility to spend, and helping them not get caught up fully in lifestyle creep. And really to set the foundations early on of prioritizing saving to an extent and knowing what you can then spend. I think that's where it ends up being on the younger end. And monitoring expenses and making sure that that lifestyle creep doesn't get out of hand, because it starts to for some people, and it's easy to. You got inflation, you want to do more, you have kids come along, like your expenses just go up over time to some extent. But really, I think the impact of being able to work with people early on is you get to stop it before it becomes a problem and before you have to go and say, you need to cut spending by X number of dollars a month. And it's much harder to cut that back than over time to say, okay, go ahead and start spending more, live a little bit more, go out to eat more, you know, upgrade your airline ticket when you're going on a flight, whatever it may be. So no twisting arms, thankfully.
Thankfully. It's really tough to put austerity measures into place. You think about just, like, say, theoretically speaking, a government was just spending money like there's no tomorrow and racking up massive debts. All of a sudden, to change gears and to trim back and to tighten your belt is a really, really hard thing for a country, but then also for an individual or a household. So I totally get that. And you can put some good habits in place, you know, from the get-go. You really, I don't want to say you guarantee your success, but you certainly position yourself for success.
Right. And that's what it's about, is positioning yourself for success based off of what you know in the current time period. You know, the famous quote, you know, there are two things that are certain in life, death and taxes. All the other variables that we're working with and talking through with clients, there's going to be changes. There's going to be life events, positive and negative, that are going to impact what's done. And, you know, we like to say the financial plan is pretty much out of date the moment, you know, we save the document, because something has changed. So it's an evolving process. And that's what's really fun about working with people over longer periods of time, is you get to see that evolve and see their thinking and their thoughts and their goals and dreams evolve as they get further along. And as they have kids or decide not to have kids intentionally, you get to kind of see the evolution of the work and their piece of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating. Imagine, put yourself in the shoes. You are a financial advisor, which isn't that much of a stretch. And you've got a new couple that you're working with, husband and a wife, and they are expecting. And so you're planning and planning and planning for one child. And all of a sudden it turns out they're having two or three. How do you plan for that, Justin?
Well, first off, you have to process all that information, because it takes time to realize that that's truly what's happening. You know, and then it's similar to having one child. You just got to start preparing for those known expenses. You know, you're going to have deductibles, you know, medical bills, et cetera. You're going to have to buy a crib, buy clothes, you know, all those types of things. Most people get lucky and have showers and such that help with that. I think from the triplet perspective, you really got to line up help. And I even see with singleton babies, lining up help and having family and friends close who are supportive goes a long way. And that's not a financial thing, but that's a life thing that is important, to have that community around you to support you. And from a financial perspective, start saving early. Those three in college at one time is potentially a big expense. So the sooner you start saving for that, the longer it has to accumulate and compound. So
there you go. Remember, if you want to freak somebody out, just show them the price of college in 18 years on current inflation numbers. So
yeah, those are not pretty numbers to look at and to comprehend, but things may change between now and then. Just like I said earlier, there's going to be things outside of our control, positive and negative. And so you adapt and adjust and work with what is known or reasonably assumed at a point in time.
So when you get that, and it, for lack of a better term, that punch in the gut, you're like, oh my goodness, how are we going to afford all of this? That could certainly have the effect of having me crawl into a shell and nah, and that's not healthy.
Yeah, it's not, but having somebody like a financial planner to talk through and model out scenarios, even though they're not going to be completely accurate, can help you start to just have peace or understand the decisions you need to make about saying, yes, we want to fully fund college, or, you know, maybe we just want to help a little bit and be supportive of it. So there's levers you can pull, and everything doesn't have to be a yes or a no. You can find a middle ground of getting some of the yes, but also not going 100% there. And I think that that ties back to the whole idea of saving versus spending. You don't have to be at the extreme. You can find a middle ground of thinking about tomorrow, saving for tomorrow intentionally, and spending and enjoying life along the way, going on those trips or spending on the dining out, whatever it is that you want to be spending on and brings you satisfaction and joy in life.
How do you, and I'm sure it's on an individual case-by-case basis with your clients, do you build in just let's build in fun into it, or just a whatever you want fun kind of a thing?
Yeah, it depends client by client. Some people are a little bit more strict and want a tighter budget that they follow or track everything. Other people are a little bit looser with it and say, let's take care of the spending and or the saving, and we're going to spend the rest. That's kind of called reverse budgeting. So it depends on the client and what works for their circumstances and for what they want to achieve and how they want to achieve it.
Tell me a little bit more about the reverse budgeting.
Yeah, so the reverse budgeting is kind of this concept that basically you start a little bit more at taking care of the big items that you know you need to take care of, including that saving, and then you give yourself the freedom to spend what's left. And so instead of the opposite, where you allocate where every dollar is going and have the specifics and kind of what's left or what isn't being spent towards a specific expense is what's saved, you kind of flip that around, save first, then spend, and don't have to worry about what's going to be left or if anything's left.
Do you find that a saver or a spender gravitates towards more of an every dollar or a reverse budgeting strategy?
I can't say that I've found a strong correlation or connection. I would say generally my assumption there would be the spenders are probably going to be more on the reverse budgeting side. They just want to know what they can spend or know that they're okay spending it. And the savers probably tend towards a little bit more line item, traditional budgeting. They want to see where every dollar is going and want to understand it and try to keep themselves within their limits.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. My wife keeps our budget for our household, even though I'm the financial person, and I'm more comfortable with the reverse budgeting approach, but she's more comfortable with the every dollar. So it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, and it's dynamics. Couples have to work through and find what works for them. And, you know, same with the saving versus spending. They've got to find that balance. If one's a saver, one's a spender, you've got to come to a balance and an agreement that you can both work on that is going to allow you both to flourish in your marriage and flourish financially.
Yeah. You talked about confidence and how, as soon as you hit save or whatever it might be on the financial plan, that it's no longer, you know, totally correct. but, and that you don't want to let perfect be the enemy of the good, mm-hmm. and that you've done a plan, we're going to update it. You should feel great about this.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why in the work we do, we tend to be conservative and, you know, give wiggle room in the plan, because, you know, going back to, it's easier to tell somebody you can spend more than to tell somebody, hey, the projections were way high, you've got to cut back. And a lot of that ties to psychology, and there's lots of underlying things going around with money and feelings, and there's a lot of emotion tied to it. But, you know, we tend to go on the conservative side, because that just gives us wiggle room over time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What, is there anything that just drives you nuts? Like, why do people keep doing this?
Not necessarily. You know, there's, I mean, maybe one thing is when people just keep putting money on credit cards and not paying them off. That drives me nuts. It's just never a winning strategy.
No, that is not a winning strategy at all. But it's so easy to do. Justin, yes. I have them. I can buy whatever I want and have it arrive immediately. I guess that's probably more the savers.
Yes.
I think we can confidently say that. I like it. Well, Justin, we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Yeah, so my tip is be honest with yourself, first and foremost. Understand where you're at on that continuity or on that continuum, saving versus spending, today versus tomorrow, whatever words make sense in your head. Understand where you're at and your own biases there. And if you feel like you're strongly towards one end or the other, take a move to move a little bit towards the middle. If you're a saver, take a small step and start spending a little bit. If you're a spender, take a small step and start saving a little bit, even $100 a month. Take a small step. It can make a big impact over time.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets a come on. Life is all about just those small steps and that next step, Justin, and finding that just right. Things are too hot, they're too cold. Let's find that just right. I'm sure that you've read that story to your children.
Yes.
I love it. Well, Justin, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Yeah, so thanks for having me on. Business-wise, you can find us at bridgefinancialplanning.com. And we've got links to schedule meetings and consultations and such. And then I'm a little bit active on LinkedIn, not a ton, but that's another way to connect with me.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Justin your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to bridgefinancialplanning.com and check out the great resources and find a time to set up a time to have a conversation with Justin. As I'm sure that what he talked about resonated with you as it did with me. You can find him on LinkedIn as well. I'll certainly link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Justin.
Thank you.
Finally, a friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.